There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you are trying to implement dread in an effort to get your girl to change her behavior and you resent her because she's not changing, you're doing it all wrong, brother. We're going live.
We'll do it live.
This is the Come On Man podcast. And here's your host, Paul Bauer.
Good morning, guys. As Nurse Chick says in the comments here, happy hump day. It's her favorite day of the week, guys. let me tell you something. Oh, man. How are you guys doing out there today? So I've been doing this a lot lately, and it seems to be doing pretty good numbers, but I've basically been just reading you guys stuff. It's been story time with Paul Bebe, and it's been going pretty good. So I pretty much scheduled the whole week that way. Also, I have been going through the Red Pill archive and going through some of the gems in there, and I like to keep those ideas circulating because a lot of those ideas are disappearing off the internet. In fact, a lot of the old Reddit forums where a lot of these ideas were shared, like the original Red Pill subreddit, it got quarantined. Like the Reddit got rid of it. It was too toxic, right? You can't have men swapping notes. You can't have men going out there and having sexual strategies. I have to say it that way because we're not at the 8 minute mark. So a lot of these ideas are going away. That's why my man Ryan Stone wrote his books, right? His last two books, Dread and Frame. And dread is the topic of conversation today. And I will say that Ryan's got this laid out really well. He explains it very well and how to do it properly. So if you haven't gotten his book yet, definitely get that. But you have to have read his first or his second book, right? You have to read the book on frame, and or else dread's not going to work, which is what this article really kind of gets into today. And that's what I'm going to be reading to you. So I'll drop a link to that in the chat. It's also in the description if you guys are listening to the replay on Spotify or iTunes or something like that. But if you guys are watching live, I'll drop a link here in the live chat. And this article was written by a guy named, is it Tired or Tyred Biggums, back in 2020, back in August of 2020. So it was like right when I was starting out my podcast, you know. I started out, I think, pretty much like in August 2020, I want to say. It was definitely 2020. This is when I started the podcast. So this guy wrote it back then. And it's called The Dread Contract and Scoreboard: How to Frame Improvement for You. And like I said, if you read Ryan's book, he explains what the scoreboard is, right? That's the whole like first part of the book is the mental model of the scoreboard and how a lot of guys find their way to the married red pill because their wife is just dunking on them, right? You got to picture like a basketball game, and she's just dunking on the guy, and he's just losing. No matter what he does, he can't win, right? How many guys feel like that in a relationship. No matter what he does, he can't win. He's not doing it right. She's always pissed off. You know, he can't do anything right. She's always, you know, doing layups and dunking on him. So the whole idea is, okay, well, a guy's got to start putting some points on the board, right? Guy's got to start putting some points on the board. Well, Tyrod here, he posted this article because he's like, a lot of guys are just doing it all wrong. They have the concept of dread down completely wrong, right? So he says, so many posters come in here and worry far too much about how much dread they are instilling, or ask if they should just skip everything and have a FMOFY speech. Oh, that's man, we can't say it before the 8 minute mark, but FMOFY is F me or F you, right? So they're like, should I just skip everything and have an F me or an F you speech? Even guys who have been here a while may chime in with a, what dread level are you on? There's a fundamental problem with this line of thinking, he says. Okay. On one hand, we talk about having frame, removing covert contracts, and destroying the scoreboard. On the other, we have dread, which is in her frame, a giant covert contract and a scoreboard, he says. Now, if you guys don't know what a covert contract is, I highly recommend that you guys read the book, No More Mr. Nice Guy, because that is a concept that Dr. Robert Glover came up with. And it's in regards to nice guy syndrome. And what a covert contract is where a guy does something expecting a certain result, right? Of other people, right? So you do something for someone else expecting a result from that person without telling that person what you're expecting, right? And a lot of guys do this. They bring their girls flowers, right? They do the chore play around the house, trying to get on her good side, try to get those brownie points, right? I talk about it every once in a while on the podcast, but when I was dating Red Pill Chick, one of the major covert contracts I realized that I was doing in hindsight was I was buying her flowers. I would buy her flowers every month, right? I would send her flowers to her work so that in the trying to make sure that all of her coworkers saw it so that her coworkers would be jelly and I would get those brownie points and I would be a good boy, right? Man, I learned my lesson. That was a monumental waste of money, right? It was a monumental waste of money and it was meaningless at the end of the day. It was a giant covert contract. So when you guys get into the space, that's one of the things they have to unlearn is the idea of covert contracts, right? Yes, Nathan says, Bullet Club, nice shirt. Yeah, too sweet me. For the love of God, somebody too sweet me. And Mike Steele says, covert contracts create resentment on both sides. They really do. They really do. That's a major problem with them, right? So he says here, we're creating massive covert contracts, and that's biting people in the, we're still not at the 8 minute mark, biting people in the butt. Can't use grown up words until the 8 minute mark, guys. Guys, before we get too far into this, be sure to like, subscribe, hit those notifications. And thank you for everyone that's sounding off in the live chat right now. I appreciate that. That helps these go by much smoother. And then if you guys are watching on a replay, drop a comment below your favorite emoji. Doesn't matter. All that kind of stuff boosts us in the algorithms. And then guys, do send some super chats. Don't be stingy with those things. All right. That helps support the show probably more than anything else, but especially if you get value out of these live streams, right? Oh, you guys can follow me on social media, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. We already do have a super chat for Brother Nathan, but we'll wait till the 8 minute mark to play that. So he continues here. The problem with dread, starting out with the word itself, dread implies you are doing X, which is causing a feeling of Y in your wife, LTR, or girlfriend. It's a feeling you want her to have towards you. This immediately puts you in her frame. you could try and rationalize it all you want, but at the end of the day, you're expecting her to feel something. Okay. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that what we're doing when we're implementing dread? If you're implementing dread the wrong way, right? Like I said, Ryan does lay it all out properly here. And really what dread is, it's you working on you. You know, it's you getting your poop in a group, right? So it's not, you can't do it expecting her to act a certain way. If she does, awesome. That's great. You know, get on board. But if she doesn't, well, you're in a better position for your next relationship. You know what I mean? Really, a lot of guys find their way into the space because they've lost frame. They've let themselves go. They thought that they got to the finish line, that they didn't have to do anything anymore, right? And so a lot of dread game is really just getting back to being an attractive guy, you know, being a guy that women want to be with at the end of the day. Whether your wife wants to be with you or not is irrelevant. You're a guy that other women want to be with, right? And that's the goal. That's the goal. It's not necessarily you're trying to get your girl to do something, you know. It's just oftentimes that's the byproduct of it. But a lot of guys go into dread game trying to get their girl to do something. You know what I mean? And it's like you have to really embrace the idea that you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. You know what I mean? You can't change other people. You can only change yourself. And a lot of guys they come to the space because they're trying to change their girl. It's like she'll change if she feels invested in the relationship. She might. You know, she might or she might not, right? Can't expect her to. All you could do is become the best possible guy you can. So we now have a frame loss from the start, he says. This may not have been the intent when the levels are written. I'm not a big fan on figuring out intent. The patterns and write-ups from tons of guys show that frame loss is a natural effect of dread. Which is why I say you have to read Ryan's first book in the Praxeology series, because if you don't have your frame in check, dread's not going to work for you, right? Yes, Louis says dread is the opposite of being taken for granted, right? That's really all it is. It's just learning how to not let yourself be taken for granted anymore, you know? Nathan says, buy crypto for yourself, not flowers for her. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Speaking of Brother Nathan, he does have a super chat here, and we are now finally at past the 8-minute mark. So he said a $2 super chat. Oh, I need to fix that. There we go.
I was just going to say it. This guy fucks. Am I right?
Yeah, he definitely fucks. Guys, don't be stingy with those super chats, all right? We're talking about dread game today. That's everybody's favorite topic, isn't it? There are caveats against covert contracts in the levels, but these caveats are offset with conflicting messages. Covert contracts and are extremely easy to overlook or ignore for a few guys, especially guys that haven't worked on their frame yet, right? That's why Rolo's, you know, iron rules. First iron rule is frame is everything. Right? You guys got to work on that first. Work on that first. Work on dread later. And really, there's guys that I've seen in beer club that they're not even in a relationship. Like they're still out dating or spinning plates and they're talking about instilling dread. It's like that, just stop it. Just don't even worry about dread game necessarily when you're out dating. That's often just a natural process of spinning plates. You know, you don't have to even try. So stop, right? Dread game really is important in a long-term relationship, right? And that's just because when a woman gets into a long-term relationship, she has a lack of competition anxiety. And with a lack of competition anxiety, women tend to stop trying, stop investing in the relationship and stuff like that. That's just a natural byproduct that from women, you know? So it's like you have to sprinkle a little dread on it to keep your relationship healthy, you know? And you could do it in a way that's not, you know, what some would consider toxic. You could do it in a, like a passive way. And you don't have to go out and like, you know, cheat on your girl and stuff every 5 months just to instill some dread. You know, you don't have to do that, but she's got to know that you can do that. And that's what it all comes down to. Right. All right. The slippery slope, guys, before we get into that, now we can talk about following me on social media. Follow me on social media, guys. The links are in the description. Do get on the email list if you're not already on it. I don't spam people. I periodically you'll send emails, but it's not all the time. certainly, I don't think enough to annoy you too bad. but if you do, I will send you some free stickers. You also get 20 dating app openers that are guaranteed to capture a woman's attention in the first 7 words. And you also get a free chapter of my book, Everything I Wish I Knew When I Was 18. Yes, I have a book, guys. It's a real book. And you can get it in all versions, paperback, hardcover, Kindle. And it's also available on Audible as an audiobook. So if you haven't read my book yet, what are you even waiting for, right? But Paul, isn't it for teenagers? No, it's for everybody. It's just everything I wish I knew when I was 18. And yes, it would benefit teenagers, but it's for everybody. And then, guys, do join the beer club, beer.comeonmanpod.com. It's a good group of dudes, and I will play a commercial for that, and then we'll get back to the topic at hand today. Here's a harsh truth that everybody gets upset about online when I say it. They get upset because of their ego investment into the fairy tale idea of love and partnership. They get upset because of their ego investment into the idea that their woman is their best friend, their confidant. And they think that love will conquer all, and that their woman will be there through thick and thin. The truth is that as a man, your woman is hardwired biologically and psychologically to want you to be her rock. It doesn't work the other way around. Women do not care about your struggles as a man. They may think they care. They may even want to care. But her evolutionary DNA will not let her care. If you bring her your problems, she will lose attraction for you over time, and she will leave. Now, whenever I talk about this, people lose their minds and start talking about men unaliving themselves. The faster that men learn that women don't care about our struggles, the faster we'll save the lives of men. Men off themselves because of their own ego investments in the Disney fairy tale line. And when that fairy tale goes up in flames, they get zeroed out and they end things. Men do need a proper outlet for dealing with their problems, but going to their woman isn't the answer. Men need a tribe. They need a brotherhood. That's why I created my beer club. It's a monthly virtual hangout for men only. It's a place where men can be men. It's a place where men can talk about guy stuff without having to worry about offending women. It's a place where they can go without having to worry about being called toxically masculine. It's a place where they can go to solve their problems. Because men solve problems, women cause problems, you dig? Visit beer.comeonmanpod.com. That's beer.comeonmanpod.com to sign up. Yes, and guys, do sign up because our next meetup will be next week on Thursday, the 25th. So if you want to hang out with like-minded guys, swap notes, talk about guy stuff, that's an outlet for that. It's only $10 a month. It's like a cup of coffee at Starbucks, guys. we have another super chat here from Tim. Tim sent $1.99 super chat. I'm going to give him this one here. Let's see here. We'll give him this
one. I'm just going to say it. This guy fucks. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely fucks. Thanks for that, man. I appreciate that. And then Mike says, is there a point where her dread becomes so severe that she becomes insufferable? Like there's no guarantee that she's going to act any certain way, right? Which goes back to the idea of a covert contract. You know, you can't anticipate exactly what she's going to do. But Ryan talks about in his book that there's a point where women will get to when the hamster is going crazy in their brain, and she might have a breakdown, right? And he calls this the main event. This the main event, right? So that often happens. But it could also be that your, he says in the book too, your wife might just be a shitty wife, you know? So it could be, it could get to the point where she's just an epic bitch and you realize, you know what? This, the relationship needs to end, you know? Sometimes relationships just run its course. Just because you, you go into a divorce or you end up breaking up with someone doesn't necessarily mean that you failed either. It just means that you're not compatible. You know what I mean? Not every relationship is worth saving, you know? All right, guys, smashing like is alpha. So if you haven't done so already, please do so. CW says, yes, the book is great. Read it, damn it. Yes. I assume he's talking about my book. And if he's not, I'm just going to say he is. Okay? All right, guys, the slippery slope is the next section here. He says, we've established whose frame Dredd is really, whose frame Dredd is really in, hers. Now we're tumbling down a slippery slope and not the good kind. First up are covert contracts, which we've mentioned before. First up are covert contracts. You think to yourself, well, I'm a DL5. If I move to DL6, so when he says DL, it's a Dredd level. Well, I'm at DL5. If I move to DL6, then she'll fuck me for sure. Or we may ask, what Dredd level are you at? As that implies why she isn't fucking you, right? That's what he says. That's what happens in the married red pill. Well, what Dredd level are you at, brother? Well, if she's not fucking you yet, it's because you're not at level 6. He says, now we have one, a frame loss, and two, a covert contract, right? Since she isn't fucking you, or it's still 1 to 2 times a week or month or year, you've pulled out a spreadsheet, and he crosses that out. You pulled out a scoreboard in your head. You are highlighting the days we fucked in green in my head. Giving them a rating of 1, starfish, or 10, porn star. And we will have a clock on if it's been X days since she fucked me. Right? Have you guys seen the post where the guy kept a spreadsheet of every time his wife declined sex and what excuse she gave? Have you guys ever seen that? And then it got shared online. It got shared online. And of course, all the MGTOW guys were like, see, this is why you got to give up on women. Women, blah, 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 right? And it's like, guys fail to recognize what a fucking loser that guy must be to post his L like that on the internet, right? Like, wow. Just say you're not attractive, dude, and that your wife doesn't want to fuck you, dude, you know? And tell everybody. Just tell everybody instead of working on your shit, right? Hey, Nuke's in the house. What's up, man? So,
this episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So now we have one, a frame loss, and two, a covert contract. Since she isn't fucking you, right? We already said that, right? You're keeping a spreadsheet. So 1, frame loss, 2, covert contract, 3, scoreboard. Now we're keeping score of our losses here. So he goes, looking at the Dredd levels. So these are the Dredd levels. Level 1, sidebar. Sidebar, shut the fuck up and lift. He goes, sound advice solves 99.9% of ask MRP, right? And so if you guys don't know what Sidebar is, right, because there's always new people coming to the space, what's the Sidebar, Paul? Sidebar is a Reddit term, right, where you go to a subreddit, and then in the right, there's like frequently asked questions and rules for the group. And in the Married Red Pill, there's a whole list of required reading, right? Books like No More Mr. Nice Guy, When I Say No, I Feel Guilty, The Rational Male, stuff like that, right? So if you go through and read all those books and apply what you're learning in those books, like that solves 99.9% of your problems right there. Okay. So that's level one. Sidebar, shut the fuck up, lift. That's level one. Level two is create a map. Map is a concept from Athol K's book, Married Man Sex Life Primer. And that's, what is that? The male action plan or something like that. So that's sound advice. That's own your shit, right? That's own your shit type stuff. Level three, live your own life. Do what you want when you want. Cool. Sounds good. That's where you start developing your own mental point of origin. Like you start living life on your terms. But most guys aren't. Most guys aren't. I saw some fucking guys yesterday. Jesus Christ, going off on a tangent here. But I posted one of my misogynistic posts on Facebook the other day, and it was a woman in the kitchen, and it says feminists when World War III breaks out. It's a woman in the kitchen cooking, right? And that's going viral on Facebook right now. And someone in the comments said, "I want to share this, but I'm scared." Like it was a dude. "I want to share this, but I'm scared." Fucking send it, bro. Just fucking send it, bro. God, what are you scared of? Quit being a pussy. Live life on your own terms. God damn it. Live your own life. But yeah, most guys, they're tiptoe around women's emotions. They don't live their own life, do they? They're operating in women's frame like all the fucking time, you know, because they want to live a carefree life, right? Or not a carefree life. They want to live a problem-free life. They want my peace, bro. I need my peace. And so they avoid conflicts trying to get their peace. And that's all just nice guy syndrome shit. Level four, begin conditioning your availability to your wife's behavior. Okay. So if my wife does or doesn't do X, I'll do Y. He says that's a covert contract. It could be. It could, I mean, it's also operant conditioning, right? It's all about rewarding good behavior and punishing bad behavior. And by punishing bad behavior, you're really not doing anything out of the ordinary. You're just removing your time and attention. You're like, okay, well, if you don't want to spend time with me, fuck it, I'll go do my own shit, right? That's not, if you're doing it correctly, you're not doing it as a covert contract necessarily, right? Yes, Luis is right. Read the fucking sidebar. Mike says, you'll get your peace when you're dead. That's right. One thing that I found fascinating in this space, I think I really picked it up reading Rollo's fifth book, The Player's Handbook. But indignation is like women crave indignation. You know, they need to have these emotional outbursts and stuff like that. And they need to have this chaos and drama in their life. And if they don't have it, they'll fucking create it, right? And so as long as you understand that and you think it's funny and you have good frame and you don't get, you're not scared of your girl's emotions and you just sort of look at her like she's the, you know, the most responsible teenager in the house. You don't give a fuck if she's having an emotional storm, right? And you're just like, okay, well, talk to me when you calm down. Swat her on the ass, right? But if you have that sort of idea, that concept, you know, then you know you're gonna have your peace, right? If you have good frame, you're gonna have your peace regardless of your girl's emotions because you're operating in your own mental point of origin, right? You are your own mental point of origin. Fuck it. Nuke says, yeah, roasting chicks. There you go. So you don't like worrying about your girl bringing you peas is kind of gay. I think it's fucking gay. Just don't worry about that. Like, women need this fucking drama. Like, let them have it. Let them have it. Just look at them like the goofy bastards they are for needing it. Whammin'. Am I right? All right. So he says, level 5, dress better, lead game. Pretty sound advice if we're not expecting anything in return. That's the key to almost all this. You're doing all this for you, right? You're not doing this to try to get her to do something. You know, her doing something is a byproduct if she does anything at all, right? Her doing something good is nice. You want to reward that good behavior. But if she doesn't, okay, fine. Okay, fine. Level 5. So we said that. Dress better, lead, and game. Pretty sound advice if we're not expecting anything in return. Level 6. Become a PUA with your wife. So PUA, pickup artist, right? Become a PUA with your wife. He says, fine. Add some tools to the toolbox. Basically, learn how to seduce your girl again, right? And that is, that I highly suggest learning how to seduce your fucking girl and seduce her all the time. Right? That's a big problem with guys, is they stop seducing their girl and then they wonder why the sex dries up. And they're like, well, I want her to initiate. No, women don't do that. I mean, they do on occasion, but that's not their default switch, right? That women are passive by nature. They expect guys to initiate everything. So if you want more sex, fucking seduce her more, right? Learn how to do that. That's a good tool for the toolbox to maintain a long-term relationship. Level 7, get over your fear of rejection by talking to people and women. Fine, that's good, right? Being more social, learning to go out, talk to everyone you meet. Don't be an introvert, you know? Because that sort of thing, being social and being friendly with everybody, and, you know, that creates passive dread. You know, you're not even trying. You're not necessarily flirting with chicks. You're just an attractive guy being social, you know? That sort of thing's good. Level 8. Now he's got this lined out here. He says, get back at your wife by talking to pretty women in front of her. So he's got that lined out. And he says, flirt with women in front of your wife so she wakes up and will fuck you. This level is really bad for that covert contract. Hell, it's in the write-up. And he says, emphasis added. So he says, one or two things will happen. Probably both. First, she will lose her shit and accuse you of all kinds of things. Maintain frame, amused mastery. You're finally getting your wife to respond. That is the important thing. There is hope for the relationship. Second, shortly after you get home, she'll probably fuck you with more passion than your honeymoon. So the emphasis that he added was, first, she will lose her shit. You'll finally get your wife to respond. Second, shortly after you get home, she'll probably fuck you with more passion than your honeymoon, right? He goes, this is pure play dancing monkey thinking. Pure play dancing monkey thinking. And by that concept, Ryan talks about it, is the Dancing Monkey Improvement Program is this concept that if you do paint by numbers, X, Y, and Z, your wife will do, you know, A, B, and C, right? And that's just not how any of this works, right? You can't control other people. You can only control your own actions, right? So just thinking that if this happens, this will logically happen afterwards, it's not necessarily true. And then guys get resentful when it doesn't happen. And now you're in a covert contract, right? And then all she does is just blow up at you and then withhold sex because you're flirting with all the girls around you, right? He goes, you're still in nice guy mode. I'm going to do this and now she'll fuck me. And when she doesn't, you'll be pissed and then post and own your shit why you weren't pissed, he says, but you're going to be pissed about it. So yeah, you can't be doing this stuff necessarily expecting some kind of magic, you know, her magically to do this stuff, right? You just need to become a more attractive guy and make it just a part of who you are, not because you're necessarily expecting anything, right? He goes, so now we're getting into negotiating desire with extra steps. This might be a short episode today. maybe there's still quite a bit of this article left. So he goes, now we're getting into negotiating desire with extra steps. So level 9, start floating the idea that if she doesn't do X, you know, and X being, you know, have sex at least 2 times a week based on that scoreboard of yours, then you are going to walk. If she doesn't start doing X, I'm going to walk, right? Level 10 is fuck me or fuck you. And he goes, I'm going to negotiate with you. Fuck me or I will leave. Cool. She'll ramp up sex to an acceptable IV life support drip feed to keep you happy while being a grape victim in her head. Right. And man, you know, Archwinger has a really good post on that about how every woman in a relationship that's basically having sex, like having obligation sex, is basically a grape victim. You know, she doesn't want to do it, but she feels obligated to do it because now she's married and, you know, you're going to leave if you don't, you know. And it's like, you don't want your girl to feel that way. Do you? Do you want your girl to feel that way? I wouldn't want my girl to feel that way. If my girl was feeling that way, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe this just isn't working out. You know what I mean? You want that genuine desire, do you not? Right? And you can't negotiate that. You can't negotiate genuine desire. You know? So then level 11 and 12, he goes, you start sleeping around and then tell your wife about it because that will show her, that will show that bitch. So he goes, Rambo and Dredd. Yes, and Luis mentioned it already, Rambo. This is where guys go Rambo mode, right? Yeah, Omega says, always have 1 foot out the door. Yeah. Like heat, right? You got to be willing to walk away. It's Corey Wayne talks about it in his book. You know, he says, he quotes Michael Yon, says, the strongest negotiating position is being willing to walk away and mean it. But you don't want to be negotiating because that's, you know, that you can't negotiate that genuine desire, guys. So Rambo and Dredd. Rambo and thinking about Dredd goes together because you're still 100% in nice guy covert contract mode. When your wife doesn't respond, you get pissed. Like really pissed. The whole levels from 4 on are one big exercise at Ramboing, he says. The whole levels from 7 describe a Rambo 100%. Right? Oh, Patrice O'Neill came up with the idea of Rambo. Oh, Louis, send me a video about that if you can find one. Because I did not know that. That's good to know. So the whole levels from 7 describe a Rambo 100%. He goes, 1, I am more fit and dressed better. 2, it's not working. 3, I'm trying to seduce my wife. 4, it's not working. 5, I'm going to seduce other women. 6, that's not working. 7, I'm going to seduce other women in front of her, then she'll fuck me. 8, she still isn't fucking me. What the hell? Well, fuck her. I'm going to tell her this is how it's going to be. 9, she still isn't fucking me. Well, I'm going to sleep around and then nuke it from orbit by telling her because I'm angry and want to show her what's up. So, I mean, really, it's like it's all about this revenge porn fantasy of she's not doing what you think she needs to be doing. And so you are trying to hold her accountable, right? That's what Red Pill is, isn't it? We're holding her accountable. Yeah. Nope. If you are thinking in terms of Dredd, you are doing it wrong, he says. If you are purposefully creating overt Dredd, you're doing it wrong. So in overt Dredd, right? So there's 2 ways of doing it, right? You could do covert Dredd, which is advisable, Or you could do overt dread, where you're actively doing shit, right? Like there, if you read the book Atomic Attraction, there's a whole section on dread that is just toxic shit, right? He talks about going to, you know, going to Macy's and spraying on women's perfume and then coming home so that your woman smells the other woman's perfume and asks you about it. And then you go, oh, I was just out sampling colognes or whatever. I was just out sampling perfumes. Like, trying to get her to think that you might be cheating in an effort to get her to start putting an effort into the relationship. It's like, you're probably going to fucking nuke your relationship. And it didn't need to be that way. It could have been handled much better, right? So that's overt dread, right? Posting pictures online of, let's say you go out to a bar and you tell your girl, hey, I'm going out tonight. You go out to a bar and you order because you can't get laid, right? Because he talks about here, I'm going to seduce other women. It's not working, right? So you go to the bar, you order a fucking beer, and then you order like a fucking, you know, strawberry daiquiri, right? Which, you know, guys, most people would argue is a woman drink. And you put them side by side, and you take a picture, and you post it on social media just without any kind of context or anything like that to make her think that you're out with another woman. That kind of shit is overt dread type activities, and it's kind of toxic just shit, right? That kind of stuff is good if you're out dating and spinning plates, though, right? If you're not in any kind of committed relationship and you're seeing multiple women, posting that kind of stuff does get women thinking more, and it does induce that competition anxiety. It's kind of a hack you could do while you're out spinning plates, but you don't necessarily need to do that, you know. And doing it while you're married is just, I think it's just fucking dumb. It's just dumb, right? So he says, if you're purposefully creating overt dread, you're doing it wrong. If you're talking to your wife about having sex with you, you're doing it wrong, right? That's why, like, communication isn't necessarily the key to a healthy relationship. Because if you're talking to her about how you need her to have sex with you more, now you're negotiating. You're trying to negotiate that genuine desire. It just doesn't work. You can't do it. You know, and then she starts going, well, if you clean the gutters more, then maybe I'd put out more. And it's like, no, come on. What kind of, do you want to do a tit for tat relationship like that? No, you want it to be a natural thing. Don't you? Do you not? A lot of guys out there would argue, I don't care how I'm getting it. I'm just, as long as I'm getting it, I don't care. I've had guys say that kind of shit in the comments. You're like, wow. That's sad, bro. That's sad. And then they end up divorced and they go, what happened? I don't understand. He goes, if you have thought about getting back at her by doing X, you're doing it wrong. Right? That's revenge porn fantasy. Oh, Luis says, not Rambo. He talked about the heat analogy. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Thanks, Luis. He goes, what happens when dread works? A personal story. Before we get into that, guys, let me just reiterate that you guys need to join the beer club, beer.comeonmanpod.com. We can talk about this kind of stuff, right? If you guys are trying to implement dread and you guys have questions about it, you can't go talking to your girl about it. That ain't going to work, but you can come talk to the boys about it. And beer club's a good place for that. So join the beer club. It's only 10 bucks a month. And then we have a video call. The next video call is on the 25th. All right. What happens when dread works? A personal story. So you have been following the levels of dread and your wife is fucking you. Congratulations. Why are you still angry and unhappy then? Right? Why are you still angry and unhappy then? Because sex is not the end goal. Sex is great. Love it. 100% recommend, but sex is not going to make one internally happy. Okay. How do I know this? Because I followed all of this and got to the point I was fucking on the regular, from 1 to 2 times per month to 5 to 6 times a week. Yay, celebration. But you know what? I was still fucking miserable because I was trying way too hard for a single goal, to get sex. Talk about a huge-ass covert contract and scoreboard. I rationalized in my head that it was not a covert contract, and I was certainly not scoreboarding. Bull fucking shit. I got pissed if she didn't want sex, even if it was 100% valid. And he goes, I bit my tongue. I shut the fuck up 90% of the time. But man, I held on to that resentment, and it put a big red X on my scorecard in my head. I'm doing all this, and she dare reject me? Nice guy, 100%. But then something really, really important happened, he says. I stopped caring. Stop caring. This is what I talk about a lot when I say you got to let go of attachment to outcome, right? You got to lose that attachment to outcome, because almost all this stuff is an attachment to a particular outcome, isn't it? And that's where we get into covert contracts, right? If you let go of all like attachment to outcome, you're going to have a much happier life for one. Right? Because you're not going to have expectations of things. If nice things happen, awesome. If they don't, awesome. I don't care, you know? So he says, let's see here. He stopped caring. This opened up a whole lot of goals for me, but it boiled down to, I'm going to live the life I want. I'm happy to bring someone along with me if she fits into the life I want. This is becoming your own mental point of origin, right? I'm going to live life on my terms. If she comes along, awesome. If she doesn't, well, that's unfortunate, right? This is also how you get to a point in a relationship where you're lovingly detached, you know, which I talk about a lot too. You need to be somewhat lovingly detached in the relationship. So you let go of that attachment to outcome. If you know, I'm not a Buddhist, but, you know, Buddha taught us thousands of years ago that all human suffering comes from attachment, right? You got to lose that. That Buddha guy, he knew some shit, didn't he? That's what happens when you sit under a tree for a couple months and just fucking think about stuff. Oh, Brother John sent a $10 super chat. Bring support. Let's see here. Oh, is that super friendly? Bring super friendly. Oh, being super friendly with all women creates dread. Women see it as flirting when they reciprocate. Yeah, just be a social guy. You don't have to try that hard. I'm going to give him this one because he's Brother John, and in his picture there, he's got this mug. He's got a not a nice guy mug.
Respect the cock and tame the cunt.
Yes, that's what we're doing here with Dread Game. We're getting women to respect the cock. All right. So he says here, I'm happy to bring someone along with me if she fits into the life I want. He goes, my wife didn't fit, so I moved on. Maybe she would have if I didn't go so Rambo. Maybe she wouldn't. I don't know. I believe she never would be what I wanted, but we will never know. At the end of the day, it was all my fault as I made poor ass choices. Okay. So why am I so anti-dread? He says. So this guy is clearly anti-dread. He goes, sure, having the concept of dread floating around in my mind caused me to do some stupid shit. Maybe it wouldn't if written differently, but that's not the point, and comes dangerously close to me trying to excuse my failures. 9 out of 10 times I see someone reference dread, it's with the covert contract mindset. This is harmful and leads men to a dead end. He goes, I'm going to up the dread because she's not fucking me, right? I'm going to up the dread because she's not fucking me. Or sorry, I'm going to up the dread because she's not fucking me. I'm not going to up the dread because she's not fucking me. What level of dread are you on? Only 4? Well, no wonder she won't fuck you, right? What level of dread should I run if she's fucking me? right? Can I just give the fuck me or fuck you speech so she doesn't fuck me? So if she doesn't fuck me, I can just leave. He goes, Dredd is the ultimate nice guy move. Instead of becoming a better you for you, you're becoming a better you for her. And when that doesn't work, you get butthurt and pissed. Right? Maybe a different mindset will help someone. Maybe it won't. But now I can link this post. So what's good about the levels? He says. So there are some great things that are preached in the Dredd levels, right? We've got take care of yourself physically. That's good all around, right? We want to have good physical health, don't we? Do we not? You'll live longer. You'll live longer if you're, you know, eat healthier and you go to the gym and you work out. You'll have less health problems. You won't be sick as often. You notice like how people that are obese are they're sick all the time. That's because they have compromised immune systems and shit. Oh man, I went running on Friday. I was in Florida. I went jogging. I went on my 6 mile run and I come back and I'm talking to the hotel lady, the hotel clerk, and she's this overweight lady. And she goes, did you just go running? And I was like, yeah, I just came back from my run. And she goes, oh, I can't do that. You know, she's like, I have all this exercise equipment at home because years ago I got divorced. And so I lost all the weight. And I'm like, as we do, right? Like men and women, they like let themselves go when they get married or they're in an LTR, they just get fat and they think that's acceptable behavior. And then when the relationship ends, now they fucking, all of a sudden they get back to the gym because now they're back on the dating circuit and they have to be attractive again. Why did you stop doing that shit? Why did we stop doing that shit, right? No. No more of that. We're going to take care of ourselves physically now, okay? So anyway, this lady, she's like, well, I can't, you know, so I lost all the weight. And she goes, I kept it off for about 2 years. And then, you know, I just couldn't do it anymore. So I let it all go. And she goes, and now I'm fat because I have diabetes. And in my head, I'm thinking, no, you have diabetes because you're fat. Like, if you lost all that weight, you probably wouldn't have the problem. You know what I mean? At least for type 2 diabetes, that's 100% true. That's 100% true. Another good thing about the Dredd levels is we start dressing better, right? We start wearing clothes that fit. We stop being frump ass fucking lazy people of Walmart, right? We start actually wearing publicly acceptable clothes. We understand male and female polarity better. That's good. Male and female polarity is good. Speaking of male and female polarity, going off on a side topic here, did you guys see Cappy's video last night about Bumble and how the Bumble CEO is like, yeah, we're rethinking having women initiate conversations on Bumble now because it feels like an unnecessary burden. It feels like a burden on women. It's like, well, yeah, because women, that takes women out of their natural feminine nature to initiate the conversation with guys when it comes to dating. Like that's the man's job. That's polarity, right? If you put women in this unnatural state, they don't know what to fucking do. It sounds good on paper, but when they actually do it, they get in their feels because it goes against their monkey brain, right? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. He goes, create a map and own your shit, right? Create a map and own your shit. That's a good thing. Understanding seduction, that's a good thing, right? Learning how to seduce your girl again. Because even if it doesn't work out, you're learning how to do two steps forward, one step back, right? You learn how to seduce your girl again. Maybe she starts fucking you. Maybe she doesn't. But your next relationship, you're going to know how to do that. And you're going to keep that momentum going in your next relationship. So you either are going to end up, It was Athel K say at the beginning of his book, he's like, I can guarantee that you're going to have a loving relationship, but I can't guarantee that it's going to happen with your wife. Right. So understanding seduction, that's a good thing, right? That's a life skill for men. Talk and be friendly with everyone. Just be a more social person. That's just a net benefit, right? So what if instead, Dredd, we just say these are self-improvement levels, right? Why don't we just say they're self-improvement levels? Hell, you start becoming the best you and some women will fuck you. Maybe not your wife, and that's okay. Call it saving a low sex life if you want. Honestly, it's all semantics, isn't it? Right? One of the reasons why we call it Dredd is because it's catchy, right? It's clickbait. Guys are like, ooh, Dredd, that sounds awesome. Let me implement it. Right? Sells books. I'm sure Ryan's fucking killing it with his book sales right now. As he should be, because it's a fucking good book. But that's one of the reasons why it's called Dredd, is it's catchy, right? It gets guys to click on it. And they go, yeah, my wife's being a bitch. I want to hold her accountable. Let's implement Dredd, right? It sounds good. So it's marketing, really. It's marketing, if you think about it. But if it makes you feel better, you can call it self-improvement levels. The alternative view of thinking is the next section here. He goes, paint the things you want in the realm of things you can control. Right? And I say this a lot too. And I think I first heard it, honestly, from John Cena. I heard John Cena say it in an interview once. But you can control the controllable. Right? Control the controllable. Don't worry about things you can't control. A lot of guys have anxiety about stuff, right? Because they're worried about future events. And it's like, well, thinking causes anxiety, but action cures it. If you can be doing something about it right now, why aren't you? If you can't, why are you worrying about it? Control the controllable, right? For instance, I will have a satisfying sex life, then work towards that. By becoming the best you, that will happen. Just like if you eat healthy and lift, you will look better. It may not be with a particular woman, your wife, but it will happen. Don't expect it from any particular person. Right? So that's really the key, right? And that's the stay plan is the same as the go plan, which is what Ryan lays out in his book. The real key to happiness is not give two fucks about anyone. He goes, except exceptions are my kids. I care a lot about those little fuckers, maybe too much at times. Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Single fucks are okay for, he goes, single fucks are okay for those close to you. Zero fucks for the rest. Be unapologetically selfish in what you want and be authentic to you. The authentic part takes a lot of ego shedding and it hurts. Suck it up, cupcake. Here's a 30,000 foot view of a process that is within your frame from the start. Okay. So this is what he recommends. One, lift heavy because you care about your health and how you look. Okay. If you're going to the gym because you're trying to look better for women, you're doing it wrong, right? Care about how you give a shit about yourself. Give a shit about yourself. Okay. Two, read the sidebar because you know you need more information on how to grow. Right. Three, shut the fuck up for now because you know you aren't strong enough yet to open your mouth. Four, begin exiting her frame. Five, dress better because you care about yourself and how you look. Six, be fun and talk to everyone, men and women, because you don't care what they think and it's enjoyable. You know, it's funny because I was always, I'm still a little bit of an introvert, honestly. You guys might not even realize it. I'm a little bit of an introvert. I'm a little bit of a homebody. And when I started doing all this stuff and going out and talking to people and just, you know, engaging in random conversations with people, I actually ended up feeling better about myself, you know, almost like just a self of accomplishment of just talking to other people, you know? And I think a lot of the introvertedness comes from my upbringing. My dad's a total fucking introvert. He doesn't go anywhere. My dad's like the most boring guy. He didn't fucking go anywhere, but he is an excellent conversationalist if he wants to be, you know, like if he goes out and he's very friendly, he's, you know, he's got the gift of gab. He just doesn't like doing it. So sometimes you got to force yourself to do it, but it's a net benefit to do that, right? To be more of a social person, just talk to everybody. I talk about that a lot, you know, just talk to the baristas when you go there. When I was in Florida, I took my son to a Twin Peaks. If you guys aren't familiar with Twin Peaks, it's like Hooters, but sluttier. And our waitress was this really cute college chick. And so I started chatting with her about, you know, what brought her to Florida, because her name tag said she was from Syracuse. And she was talking about how she's going to Florida for college and stuff like that. And then I ended up like asking her, hey, can we take a selfie with you? And my son was just like, what? This is amazing. So we got my son and I a selfie with this waitress and stuff. And that's just me being, you know, a personal, friendly, social person. You know what I mean? Anyway, be fun to talk to everyone, right? Flirt with your wife and other women because you find it fun and enjoyable, right? It just comes down to being more social, right? Not because you're necessarily trying to get your girl to do something. It's just because now you've learned to be a social guy, right? Start living your frame by being authentic in who you are, because fuck what other people think. Fuck what other people think, man. And then begin pushing your frame out into the world by being openly and honest and authentic with those close to you, because you don't expect anything in return and don't care what they think, right? It all comes back to being your own mental point of origin. And he goes, in 10, manipulate the world to the best of your ability to get what you want. Right? But Paul, you're teaching guys manipulation? Fuck yes. Fuck yes. Are you kidding me? You know what's really good that's often slept on, but I do periodically, is I read books on sales. I read books on sales. Right? And I didn't put two and two together until I read Corey Wayne's book, How to Be a 3% Man. But dating is sales. So if you get good at sales, that's basically learning to be good at persuasion. You know, a lot of salespeople use NLP because it's all about rapport building. A lot of NLP is about rapport building, getting people to like you, you know, selling yourself. If you want to get good at game, read some sales books, right? Then you can learn how to manipulate the world to the best of your ability to get what you want. He goes, as a consequence of this cool and authentic new you, you'll give your time and attention naturally to people. He put here women, and he crossed that out. He goes, naturally to people who fit into your life. It will be a consequence of being busy and living your life. He's got typos. So living your life like that will take priority over others who do not fit within it. So Tyron, what about the sex? It's rule zero, right? You guys know what rule zero is? It's not just the name of a show. We did a whole rule zero on that, actually. Rule zero is about men's sexual strategy and a positive male identity, right? So that's why he says, what about the sex? It's rule zero. And he goes, I get it. New guys finding this place want the sex. It's all about the sex. Until they get far along and it's not. When they build abundance and know the sex is going to be there, they start thinking, well, what else do I need to work on? Why am I not happy? I'm getting the sex. Why am I not happy, right? So for the new sex-focused guys, this progression ups your sexual market value to crazy levels naturally. High sexual market value equals high attraction, which equals sex from women out there, which equals sex from some women out there. And it does it from your frame. No guarantees that it's your wife, though, right? Which is how I mentioned before. That's how Athel K starts his book, right? You're going to become a more attractive guy, but it and you're going to end up in a loving relationship, it just might not be with your wife, right? That's why the stay plan is the same as the go plan. Oh, and through this process, you may find you like your wife. You may like her, or you may find you don't like your wife and want to move on, right? Ryan has a whole chapter on that. Maybe she's just a shitty fucking wife, right? You just got to learn how, fuck, it's time to move on, man. It's time to move on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change your view of the world or how you act. Stay plan is the go plan. He says, good luck, careful planning, and own your shit with discipline. So that's the article, guys. I think it's a pretty good one. It makes a lot of points, right? Because a lot of guys, especially now, a lot of guys are getting back into dread because, you know, Ryan brought it back to the forefront with his book. So this gives you a contrasting view on how to think about it differently, right? Because a lot of guys are doing it for that covert contract shit, right? What does Mike Steele say? Parenting done right. Bring your son to Vegas when he's 21. Oh, dude. Bro, yes. Dude, I'm totally fucking doing that. Oh, man. Okay. So that's all we got, guys. Actually, it wasn't a short episode. It was a little bit of a long episode. So let's go ahead and end with tune into the podcast Friday. I am going to start my new series. God, I got all these books here. Paul, why do you got all these books? Because I like to bring them up as references. I'm going to start my new series on Friday on the Book of Puck, right? This is a classic book, guys. It's really a compilation of forum posts from a guy that went by the handle of Puck in the old SoSwap forums. That's where Rollo came out of. And if you guys haven't read the Book of Puck, I suggest you get it. It's not available on Audible, but Jack Napier on his Gumroad has it available as an audiobook that you can either buy from him or you can join his YouTube membership. And I think he gives it for free if you join the membership. But I'm linking to that in the description of Friday's episode if you guys want to get Jack's audiobook version of it. Otherwise, you can buy it on Amazon, which I did. And the Book of Puck is now in 3 volumes. So I'm going to go through volume 1, which is the original Book of Puck. And we're going to go chapter by chapter on this and just go through it. I'm going to make it a whole series. It's really, you know, old school red pill shit, right? This is like a lot of this stuff is Rollo quotes it in Rational Mail and stuff like that, right? It's good stuff. If you guys haven't read it, I highly recommend reading it. And you guys might as well read it along with me as I'm doing the series. Other than that, guys, like, subscribe, hit those notifications if you haven't done so already. Thanks for everyone that sounded off in the live chat. If you guys are watching on the replay, drop a comment below. Any comment will do. Guys, thanks for sending super chats today. I appreciate it. Follow me on social media. The links are in the description. I've been posting a lot of inflammatory, misogynistic shit, but that's really just to get you guys over here for the actionable information. Guys, join the email list. I'll send you a bunch of free shit, including a free chapter of my book, Everything I Wish I Knew When I Was 18. If you haven't read the book yet, what are you waiting for? I do talk about dread in my book, but it's really from the idea of passive dread, just being more social, more like how he laid it out here, right? Going to the gym, just being attractive. Don't be unattractive, you know? And then, guys, do join the beer club. Our next meetup is next week on Thursday. It's a good group of dudes. Good place to swap notes. Other than that, we will see you guys on Friday.
This has been the Come On Man podcast. Now, go out and get it.